On this Sunday after Thanksgiving, as we prepare our hearts for Advent next week, we are privileged to have a guest speaker. Our guest speaker is the pastor of the First Baptist Church here in Williamsburg. First Baptist Church was founded in 1776. And right around this time each year, they put up a banner to commemorate that anniversary. The chapel was founded in 1976. So we have a 41-year history. First Baptist Church Williamsburg has a 241-year legacy of proclaiming the freedom that comes from the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. First Baptist Church is also recently, I saw, has been put on the National Register of Historic Landmarks. The church is pastored by the Reverend Dr. Reginald F. Davis. Pastor Davis attended seminary at Colgate Rochester Divinity School. He earned his doctorate in humanities from Florida State University. He is an author, most recently, of a book called A Dangerous Journey, Those Who Become Jesus' Disciples, and we'll have this available in the foyer after the service. He gave me a copy this morning. Thank you, Pastor Davis. And he's an author. He's a college lecturer. He's married to Marlene, who is here with us. He has three children. And he is the architect behind something called the Let Freedom Ring campaign that many of you participated in. They had worked with Colonial Williamsburg to restore the historic bell tower on the church. And at a time in our church, in our country's history, where there's so much divisiveness, Pastor Davis put together this Let Freedom Ring campaign for people to come together and stand for the ideals that our country was founded upon. Most notably, E Pluribus Unum, out of many would come one. And so with such a distinguished guest speaker, you may wonder, Travis, how in the world did you meet such a distinguished man? Well, it was providential geography. I'll show you a picture of my backyard where I lived for 7 years. This picture I took from standing in my backyard, Pastor Davis's church, as God would have it, sat in my backyard as I lived there for 7 years. And I would walk down the street, and every Sunday I would see what the scripture reading was. And I would see this name on this church sign, the Reverend Dr. Reginald Davis, and I would pray for their service. I would pray for Pastor Davis. And I thought, one day I would like to meet Reverend Dr. Reginald F. Davis, but I never got to see him, because I would be working here, he was working there. And I will note that I could preach two sermons here at the chapel, have lunch, and watch the first quarter of the Redskins game, and then watch them get out of church. So Pastor Davis, he has some stamina. I felt pretty weak every Sunday when I saw that happen. And so I would see them get out of church. I thought, I want to meet Pastor Davis someday. And then one day, as God would have it, there he was, sitting right over here in our service. His wife, Marlene, went through Stephen ministry training right here at the chapel. And on the Sunday she was commissioned as a Stephen minister, Pastor Davis was here. And I went over and I grabbed him and I said, I hope this doesn't make you uncomfortable, but I would love for you to pray for our church today. He came up and delivered a spirit-led prayer that impacts me to this day. And on that day, my admiration from afar went to a friendship that was beginning up close. And I believe that there is a true partnership that could be had between the First Baptist Church and the Williamsburg Community Chapel. And we are just so glad to have Reverend Dr. Reginald F. Davis with us today. So would you please join me in welcoming Pastor Davis. And would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Our scripture lesson today comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 14 through 27. And I'll be reading from the New King James version of the Bible, as that's what they use at First Baptist Church, and the ESV translation that we use is a revision of the King James Bible, and so it's very close, but what I'm reading will appear on the screens above. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 27. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members of each one of them in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I bring you greetings from First Baptist Church, founded in 1776. I want to thank your great pastor and the ministry team for inviting me to come. I want to thank my wife and my two children that are here. And also want to thank Deacon Harris James and his wife that came also. I must say that Community Chapel, you are one welcoming, smiling, gracious church. And I want to thank you for your warm welcome of me being here today. I want you to know that you have a great pastor here. We have formed a relationship. And this coming February 2018, on the fourth Sunday, your pastor will be preaching at First Baptist Church. And I told him that we would be elated and happy for you to come and support him because, as you know, an African-American church is always a call and response. I said, but we won't scare you too much. We'll just tell you to preach the word because we know that we need the word. Let us pray. Most holy and everlasting God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for this fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people who have gathered here today. We just thank you for this season of Thanksgiving. We thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. And we pray, Father, that you continue to be with us. Lord, we are sad to see what is going on in our nation. But Lord, we know that we have the power to bring transformation. Help us to realize, Lord, how much we need each other in order to bring redemption and redeem this time in which we live. Now, Father God, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. These and all blessings we ask in our Son Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture has been read for your hearing, and we're going to talk on the subject, we need each other. We need each other. There is a genetic imperative woven within the fabric of life so we would understand our interrelatedness. God, the great designer of life, designed it so that we would need each other. Regardless of race, regardless of creed or color, we need each other. We may disagree, but we need each other. We may be at different ends of the socioeconomic political spectrum, but we need each other. We may live on different sides of the track, but we need each other. We are in different income brackets, but we need each other. We need each other because God fixed it this way. So we would understand that we are inextricably tied together to bring the disconnected aspects of reality into a coherent whole. Just like it takes more than one bee to make honey, just like it takes more than one contractor to build a building, it takes more than one fireman to put out a major fire, it takes more than one man to build a bridge. Just like it takes more than one employee to build an automobile, it takes more than one soldier to win a war. Likewise, it takes more than one Christian to advance the kingdom of God. Individually, we are one drop. Together, we are an ocean of humanity, working as a single garment of destiny to glorify God in a broken and fragmented world. Whether we know it or not, we need each other. God did not create us to be alone. God said it is not good for humanity to be alone. Therefore, God designed family. God designed community. And from one blood, God made all nations of people to dwell upon the face of the earth, to let us know that we were not made to travel life alone. We were not made to walk alone. We were not made to work alone. We were not made to watch alone, to wait alone, to weep alone, and to witness alone. We were made to have need of each other. And this is the inner related structure of reality. Now, it doesn't matter if we are rich or poor. It doesn't matter if we are black or white. It doesn't matter if we are educated or uneducated, living uptown or downtown. We need each other. We did not get where we are today on our own. Somebody had to help us. Somebody gave us a helping hand. Somebody gave us a chance. Somebody believed in us, and somebody sacrificed for us. Let us remember that somewhere on life's journey, we need the support of others. Now, there is a Zambian proverb that says, when we run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. This Christian life we have been called to is not 100-yard dash. It is a marathon. We need each other to run this Christian marathon. There's no such thing as self-sufficiency in this Christian race. Show me someone who is self-sufficient, that has never needed a helping hand, never needed encouragement, never needed advice, comfort, and direction in life. And I will show you someone totally dead because we need each other. America became a great nation. America became a great nation because we demonstrated an amazing need for each other. And this inspired Cory Booker to say, we have had in our nation a well-celebrated Declaration of Independence, but our success as a country will depend upon a new Declaration of Interdependence, a belief in how much we need each other and how much we share one common destiny. And if America is to recapture her former greatness, we need to realize our interdependence and how we stand on the shoulders of men and women, black and white, who struggled to have one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Yes, we need each other. Moses needed Aaron. Joshua needed Caleb. Ruth needed Naomi. David needed Jonathan. Esther needed Mordecai. Mary needed Martha. Paul needed Barnabas. Abraham Lincoln needed Joshua Speed. Frederick Douglass needed William Lloyd Garrison. John F. Kennedy needed Bobby Kennedy. Martin Luther King Jr. needed Ralph Abernathy. Community Chapel needs First Baptist Church. Pastor Davis needs Pastor Simone. And we all need Jesus. We need each other because we were not made to travel alone. My brothers and sisters, don't let anybody fool you. As long as the cord of life shall lengthen, we need each other in order to win this spiritual warfare. Now, I heard your pastor just talking about the victory of William and Mary. And I'm here to tell you this morning that William and Mary as a team could not win if every player did not play his part. And if we are on a team, each person must play his or her part, because one person cannot win the game. And so it is when it comes to the body of Christ. One church cannot win this spiritual warfare. We must come together as one in the body of Christ, realizing that we need each other because we can win this spiritual warfare. When I look at America and see how divided she has become, and how we have allowed our politics, how we have allowed our political philosophies and our economics to divide us, I say to myself, America can win again, but it's gonna take the church to rise up, black, white, brown, and yellow, realizing that we need each other. And if we could just hold each other's hand and realize that we are the body of Christ and that we have power to do that which God is calling us to do, but we can't do it by ourselves. Now, let me say this. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke about our interdependence. And he said, we do not finish breakfast without being dependent on more than half of the world. When we arise in the morning, we go into the bathroom where we reach for a sponge, which is provided for us by a Pacific Islander. We reach for soap that is created for us by a Frenchman. Then at the table, we drink coffee which is provided for us by a South American, or tea by a Chinese, or cocoa by a West African. Before we leave our homes, we are beholden to more than half of the world. Yes, we need each other. John Donne understood this when he said that no person is an island. Entire of itself, every person is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. And therefore, never sin to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. Yes, we need each other. I wish the postmodern Christians would understand how much we need each other. We have allowed culture, we have allowed our politics, we have allowed all of these things to get in the way of our unity. And I wish that we could realize how much we need each other. Christianity could be more widespread, the church could be more effective, and the body of Christ could be much stronger if we realize how much we need each other. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, there's neither black nor white, conservative or liberal, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Christians have divided themselves so much that they are not as effective as they could be in the world. Denominationalism is the moral failure of Christianity. Schism within the body of Christ speaks volumes on how Christianity has allowed the socioeconomic forces of life to divide the church. And I agree with the great theologian H. Richard Niebuhr, who said that denominationalism represents the moral failure of Christianity. And unless the ethics of brotherhood can gain the victory over this divisiveness within the body of Christ, it is useless to expect it to be victorious in the world. Now in our text, the church at Corinth was coming apart because the different gifts within the church were being used to compete rather than cooperate with one another. The Apostle Paul wanted the Corinthians to understand that no spiritual gift is greater than the other. There is no need to dispute over which one is greater. Paul used our body's function to teach us how to work together and how each part of the body needs each other. Each member on the body has a different function, but it is still part of the body. The whole body cannot be one member, for how would the rest of the body function? Paul says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, what would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as God pleases. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, or the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. In other words, within the body of Christ, one Christian cannot say to another Christian, I have no need of you. White Christians cannot say to black Christians, and black Christians cannot say to white Christians, I have no need of you. Male Christians cannot say to female Christians, or female Christians can say to male Christians, I have no need of you. Each of us is an individual member of the body of Christ. And there's one head to a body, and Jesus Christ is the head and the chief cornerstone of the church. And we all are important in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter if you're tall or short. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. It doesn't matter if you're educated or uneducated. You are important in the body of Christ. My brothers and sisters, just think of the state that we would be in if all of a sudden our body parts and organs started fussing and competing with one another. What if our feet decided to stop functioning because they could not be on top of our heads? What if our legs started fussing with our arms because they had a disagreement about who is more important? What if our ears became angry and jealous of our eyes because they were not in front of the face? What if our toes wanted to be where the nose is? Better still, what if our kidneys were fighting to be where the heart is located, or the heart stopped functioning because it wanted to be where the brain is located? Now, as foolish as this sounds, if our body parts and organs had their own minds and freedom, we would be some awful, grotesque-looking, dysfunctional human beings. But thank God, our body parts and organs were set in place by a loving and organized creator who knows what is best for us and how each member of the body functions so that we can achieve the purpose for which we exist. And Paul wants us to understand that the smallest member of our body is there for a purpose. And if this small member of the body was not there, or if it was hurting, it throws the whole body into jeopardy. What if you get an abscess and the rest of your body says, sorry, old boy, you're gonna stay home? What if you start aching in your foot and the rest of your body took off and say, I'm sorry, but we're gonna have to leave you behind? No, each part of the body, when one part hurts, we all hurt. When one part suffers, we all suffer. My brothers and sisters, if that doesn't convince you that the small part of the body has significance, just get a pinch in your nerve on your back. Paul wants us to see that small things matter greatly. All I am saying is that we need each other. Every member of the body of Christ matters greatly. And so don't think that I'm not important because I'm not a pastor. Don't you think that you're not important because you're not a minister. Don't think you're not important because you're not a choir member, you're not a trustee or an usher. All members, all ministries are important and vital to the function of the body. I tell my wife all the time, I said this at First Baptist, that when we eat, everything is going well, we've had a wonderful dinner, all those things are fine and well. But just think if your digestive system decided that it was gonna stop functioning. My brothers and sisters, you know how you feel when you get constipated. I'm trying to tell you that all parts of the body is significant. And we have to understand that God put each body part on our body in order that the whole body would function. And so it is with the body of Christ. And so my brothers and sisters, understand that you are important. You are important to this ministry, and you are important to this nation. Regardless if your name is known or not, you are important because you're part of the body of Christ. Now, as I come to a close, I read a story many years ago that there was a group of people on a bus traveling on the highway. They had traveled a long distance when the bus stopped at a small town. The people got off the bus desperately looking for the restroom. There was only one restroom, and it cost a dime to use it. They searched for dimes, but no one had change. They searched and they searched, but no one had a dime. The situation became desperate, but no one had a dime. Then an old woman who was with the group said, "I found a dime deep down in my bag." And the people said, "We're still in a desperate need because you only have one dime, and how will the rest of us use the restroom?" And this old woman said, "Now we need each other, and if we work together, we can get through this crisis. And when I finish in the restroom, I will hold the door open for the next person. And then the next person can hold the door open for the next person until we all had our turn. And all we have to do is hold the door open." The people got through this desperate situation because they worked together and they realized that they needed each other. And the only thing I'm saying to you this morning, church, that we need each other because Jesus Christ holds the door open to the kingdom of God for us. And we need to work together and hold the door open for somebody else. Somebody needs the door of goodwill held open. Somebody needs the door of mercy held open. Somebody needs the door of love held open. Somebody needs the door of compassion held open. Somebody needs the door of justice held open. Somebody needs the door of peace and forgiveness held open. Somebody needs the door of healing held open. And if we hold the door open long enough, some dying soul will find the door of life. Some dying soul can find a sweet relief. There may be a sinner man, there may be a sinner woman who needs the door held open. There may be a backslider, a prodigal son and daughter who needs the door held open. Church, why don't we hold the door open until we accomplish the will of God on earth as it is in heaven? Why don't we hold the door open until the crooked places are made straight and the rough places are made smooth? Why don't we hold the door open until we all get into the kingdom of God? We need to hold the door open. And if we hold it up long enough, somebody will come through that door and find a sweet relief. My brothers and sisters, we need each other. And you cannot be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. And we together can rise up and show the nation what it means to be of the body of Christ. My brothers and sisters, as I leave you this morning, I want you to understand that the power that we set on some enormous power. This body of Christ got power. And if you don't believe that it's got power, it's coming up in a few days when they took my Lord and your master to Calvary's Hill. And when people are saying it's all over, but that's not the end of the story. When they took him off the cross and they put him in a borrowed tomb, I read somewhere where it says that the grave and death had a conversation. Death said, "If I kill him, can you hold him?" Death said, "Now wait a minute, I got a record here. I got Abraham, I got Isaac, I got Jacob, I got Moses, I got Joshua, I got all of the prophets. Yes, if you kill this man called Jesus, I can hold him in the grave." And it said that death came back Friday night. Death came back Saturday morning. "Do you still hold him?" Then he came back Saturday night. The death told the grave, "I still wondering, do you still have him?" And then the grave told death, "Go and get somebody else. Don't worry about this man called Jesus. I got him. I'm not going to let him go." But then early Sunday morning, they said that death came back to the grave and said, "Do you still hold him?" He said, "No, there was so much power about him that I had to let him go. There was so much power that he got up and he took the victory from the grave. Now, death, he's looking for you to take your sting." And so he sent me by here today to tell you that we all need each other. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all working together in order that he may advance his kingdom on earth. And so, brothers and sisters, you are part of the body, and you are important. And let us rise up, and let us cooperate with the body of Christ. Let us snatch back our nation from the jaws of defeat. Let us snatch back our nation from disrespect and division. Let us snatch it back, because we are part of that great body of Jesus Christ, who stood and said, I got all power in my hand. And now he says, go and be part of my body and reconcile the world unto me. We are somebody because we are part of the body of Christ, and we need each other for this body to function in these dark days in which we live. May God bless you, and may God keep you, and may you understand that we need each other. There may be somebody need to come to Christ. There may be somebody that feel that the door has been shut in his or her faith. And I'm here to tell you that that door is held open right now. And you can get into this body, and you can begin to operate, and you can begin to show the glory of God within the body of Christ. Church, let us rise up, because we need each other, because we are the body of Jesus Christ. May God bless you, and may God keep you.